Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available. Tech Guide. The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further. Tech Guide. I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want that to be light. We want that to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Welcome to episode 20 of the Tech Guide Podcast. It's great to have your company. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. I'm Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. This week, we're going to take a look at all the products that were announced by Apple at last week's special launch event in San Jose. I've just returned from that trip. A lot to talk about from that event. We'll also tell you why mobile phone complaints are on the rise, how Samsung has also increased its lead over Apple in the smartphone market, and we'll also take a look at the eagerly awaited new Windows 8 operating system from Microsoft. In our reviews, we'll check out the new 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. We'll also take a look at an Android tablet designed just for kids and look at a Logitech device to make Skype phone calls, video calls, from the comfort of your lounge room. This week's Tech Guide interview is with LiveScribe's Sasha Pesic, who talks to us about the brand new Sky Wi-Fi Smart Pen, which can push all your written notes to the cloud and then allow you to access them on other devices and computers. And we'll finish it all off with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A lot to talk about today, so let's jump right in. Well, as I mentioned, I've only just returned from San Jose after attending the special Apple launch last week at the California Theater. That was the same theater used by Apple a few years ago when they launched the U2 iPod, the red and black iPod. You may cast your mind back a few years to that device. That was the same venue where that product was announced. And what made that product announcement even more special was the fact that U2 themselves were on hand, Bono on stage with Steve Jobs. Well, this time out, we had Tim Cook kicking off proceedings to this much anticipated event, highly rumored event too. We went through some of the rumors there, and as we predicted, there was an iPad mini announced. There was also a new iMac, a brand new fourth generation iPad, as well as a 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display, which is going to be part of the Tech Guide review a little later on in the program. But the star of the show the other day was the iPad mini. It is a 7.9-inch iPad, which is every inch an iPad is what Apple is saying in their marketing materials. And it's quite right. It's a convenient size, which makes it easy to hold in one hand. So that's for those people who don't want to take out a larger device, they would like rather a smaller device that fits easily in their bag, in their back pocket, in their coat pocket. The iPad mini could be the product for them. Now, in the same way that Apple released a lot of other size laptops, for example, a 13-inch laptop, 11, 15-inch. I think what this is product does is kind of round out the iPad family. Now, it's got the same resolution as the iPad 2, which was pointed out pretty clearly by Phil Schiller, the Apple vice president who came on stage to introduce the product. And the reason for that resolution, and particularly for the 7.9-inch screen choice, was the fact that Apple wanted all of the apps that were designed for the larger iPad screen to scale perfectly down to the 7.9-inch screen. And having the same resolution as the iPad 2 meant that that was going to be the case. There's more than 275,000 apps that are already available for the iPad, and they're all going to work on the iPad mini. It's going to go on sale this Friday, November 2nd, Wi-Fi only products first. followed a couple of weeks later by the Wi-Fi Plus 4G. LTE 4G compatibility now here in Australia. So another feature of the iPad Mini 2 is the Lightning connector, which we first saw on the iPhone 5. But another announcement, which is quite a surprising announcement, was the introduction of the fourth generation iPad. And this comes just 6.5 months after the new iPad was announced back in March. But what the fourth generation iPad brings with it is not only the smaller Lightning dock connector, it's also got a faster processor. So it's got an A6X processor, but more importantly, and I think this is probably the main reason why Apple decided to go ahead with the fourth generation iPad now rather than in March, is the new LTE compatibility. So now the new iPad fourth generation with Retina display, mind you, still got that great Retina screen, is now going to be compatible with Australia's 4G networks through Telstra, Optus and Virgin Mobile. Virgin Mobile, of course, using the Optus 4G network. So great news there for anyone looking for a 4G iPad. You cast your mind back to the new iPad launch back in March, and Apple were actually sued by the ACCC for falsely labeling it as a 4G product when in fact it wasn't compatible with Australia's 4G networks, and Apple was sued and actually lost the case. But now they're out with the new iPad, the latest fourth generation iPad, which it as well, Wi-Fi only, will go on sale Friday, November 2, with the 4G, the all-important 4G model following in the next couple of weeks. Now, the other major announcement at the show was all to do with the iMac and the presentation of the brand new model iMac, which was really took the audience's breath away when it was first unveiled. What we were given a glimpse of at first on stage was the thin edge design of the product. It only has a 5 millimeter edge, and of course it bubbles out at the back to fit in the rest of the computer. But it is actually 80% thinner around the edges than the previous iMac, and I think it's got 40% less volume as a whole. So the iMac is a shadow of its former self. And the 21.5-inch model will go on sale in November, with the 27-inch model to follow later in December. But, yeah, the iMac, it's been about 3 years, I think, since the latest design refresh of that product. So it's about time they got around to updating that product there. But, no, it was exciting day at that event in San Jose. It was great to be there, and lots of products announced, including the highly anticipated iPad Mini, which we predicted. And as we said, the iPad Mini goes on sale this Friday, and we'll have a full review of that product in next week's episode.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, we all own a mobile phone, and from time to time, we need to make a complaint about them, whether it's our plan, whether it's our roaming charges, whether it's customer service. And figures released this week by the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman, TIO for short, has shown that mobile phone complaints have actually increased by 9%. And complaints around billing and specific things like data roaming charges, disputes on internet data usage, and not being able to manage contracts, so going over different caps, are the main concerns for users in the TIO, the Ombudsman's figures. But interestingly, though, complaints against telcos, like things like complaints about customer service and things like that, have actually decreased year on year by 2%. So that's a good sign that the telcos are finally listening and getting their customer service right. But what is getting people's goat is the fact that we are again coming home from overseas trips with huge roaming bills. Internet data usage as well, like were people disputing the fact that they've used the actual amount of their cap and disputing the fact that the amount they've used has gone over their caps. There's a few people that are ringing up about that. In fact, that's seen a 150% increase. Complaints over roaming charges have seen a 69% increase. But one of the biggest things that people are looking at, people complain about, is overspending on their plans when they don't have the right management tools to tell them when they're nearing their limits and their caps. The complaints around that issue have actually doubled over the previous year. And of course, bill amount disputes, where you get a bill and there's some costings on there, some price, some bill parts of the bill that you don't agree with. Complaints about that have actually increased by 33%. So all in all, mobile phone complaints up by 9%, but complaints against telcos down by 2%. But while we're on the subject of smartphones, some interesting figures were released by Juniper Research a few days ago to indicate that in the third quarter of 2012, that's the quarter between July and September inclusive, there was 157 million smartphones sold around the world. And the leader of the pack with an increased lead is Samsung. Samsung sold a record 56.3 million smartphones in that third quarter. And Apple came in second with 26.9 million iPhone sales. Now, what's the main reason behind the Samsung's terrific showing here is the success of the Galaxy S3, which has been a huge part of Samsung's success in the smartphone market. That alone sold nearly 20 million units. That made up for 20 million units of that 56.3 million figure. Now, in defense of the iPhone, 26.9 million, though, is still nothing to sneeze at, and is in fact a 58% increase for Apple over the same quarter a year ago. And that's according to Apple's own earnings reports, which were released late last week. Show that 26.9 is still a very healthy figure, but what we're not taking into account is the fact that that figure would have been a lot higher had the iPhone 5 been released early in that quarter. The iPhone 5 was released on September 21, which was only 9 days before the end of the quarter. Now, we did see the iPhone sell 5 million units in 3 days, become the fastest selling phone in history, but it didn't. There were still a lot of people hanging off buying a new iPhone, knowing that an iPhone 5 was just on the horizon, hence the lower figures, way lower than Samsung anyway. But I think we're going to see some interesting figures for Q4 now that the iPhone 5 is in the market, and anyone who's been trying to get their hands on an iPhone 5 will tell you it is a very popular, because there's hardly any stock. Stock is very scarce. The minute they're brought into stores and telcos, resellers around the country, they're snapped up quite quickly. So it's going to be interesting to see how Apple stacks up against Samsung in Q4. But I've written that up on Tech Guide. If you're interested in seeing that and seeing how companies like Nokia and RIM, the company behind BlackBerry, have fared, they've actually slumped in this quarter. God, their figures are way down. You'll see the reasons why if you want to take a look at that story at techguide.com.au. Well, after months and years of waiting, Microsoft has finally released Windows 8. It was released on October 26th at a huge event at the Horden Pavilion, where they really showcased the product and its new features. And they also had a few ambassadors, celebrity ambassadors, people like Jessica Watson and other adventurers, sportsmen, and various other people, fashion designers, who showed exactly how Windows 8 is integrated into their lives. That's a big theme of Windows 8, is the ability to personalize the whole experience. But one thing people are going to notice are the changes. Now, the start button is no more. The start button is actually being replaced by the start screen, the Metro user interface, which is on the homepage of your PC. Once you switch your PC on, you'll see a screen full of tiles, and those tiles are your programs, your documents, your calendars, the weather, and all these documents and files and information that's closest to you. So social media, networking, updates, things like that. So it's easy to access that right from the home screen. Now, the emphasis on Windows 8 is all about being able to share and organize your files easier. You can gesture in from the right-hand side. As we mentioned, there's no more start button, but you can gesture from the right-hand side and bring up what they call charms. And these charms appear on the right-hand side of the screen and give you access to things like search, the settings, sharing options, and the devices that are connected to your computer. You gesture on the other side, and that'll allow you to see all the open applications. So multitasking is a lot easier, and you can even have a second pane open, so you can have two applications open at the same time. So easy to keep an eye on one app, like a messaging app, for example, while you've got something running on the other side of the screen. Now, the one thing, people aren't comfortable with that start screen with those tiles, it is quite easy to revert to that other desktop feel, the normal look and feel that we've seen with Windows 7 and previous versions of Windows, including Vista and XP. But the thing about Windows 8 that we should note is the fact that it's optimized for not only desktops and laptops, but also touchscreen devices like tablets, as well as touchscreen desktops and touchscreen laptops. I'm actually testing an Acer Aspire S7, which is actually a really sleek laptop that also happens to integrate a touchscreen for users to reach out and literally touch the screen to interact with Windows 8. Now, it's going to be there's already a huge range of tablets already on the market which utilize this touchscreen interface. We're also going to see a number of hybrid devices hit the deck as well, some from Samsung, Sony, ASUS, other companies like that, that are going to have a device that is actually a tablet and a laptop at the same time. Samsung unveiled their ATIV range a few weeks ago back in the Berlin IFA trade show, and these products are basically, at first glance, look like a laptop. But what users are able to do is actually literally rip the screen, lift the screen off the keyboard and use that portion of the device as a tablet. So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. So you can utilize the full power of Windows 8 on the go. And then when you need to sort of get down to do writing documents and being more productive, you can then dock that screen back in the device, in the keyboard, and get to work. There are also just some standalone tablets as well, Windows 8 tablets. And we're soon going to see some smartphones too, running Windows Phone 8. So exciting times ahead if you're really into the Windows ecosystem. And let's face it, 90% of the world's computers are running Windows, so that's a pretty large audience to choose from. I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to stay in that ecosystem, maybe with their new laptop, maybe with a new tablet, and maybe even with a new smartphone. The Windows 8 phones, which we'll be looking at later this week and talking about on next week's show, will be able to take some of the best features of Windows 8 and put it in a mobile device, so that you've got all that connectivity, access to your documents, all your files, your cloud storage, even your Xbox 360 Live ID on the go. So I think the opportunity is there for Microsoft to create this ecosystem that's going to prove to be worthy of some users even switching from iOS and Android. And of course, there's many apps being developed for the Windows platform as well. So yeah, exciting times for Microsoft. Windows 8 is here. You can upgrade your existing Windows PC if you're running XP, Windows Vista, or Windows 7. And you can upgrade if you've bought your computer after June the 2nd and before January 13 next year. You can actually download the Windows 8 Pro upgrade for just $14.99. But otherwise, you can look around for upgrade packs that are priced between $40 and $60, the Windows 8 Pro upgrade packs. So keep an eye out on that. Windows 8, big release here. And you can read more about that story at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
As we touched on at the top of the program, one of the products that was announced by Apple at their event in San Jose last week was a 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. Now, earlier this year, we did see Apple release a 15-inch Retina display model. It was unveiled at the Worldwide Developers Conference in San Francisco back in June. And what they've done is back that up with a brand new 13-inch MacBook Pro with the ultra-sharp Retina display. Now, Apple chose wisely to upgrade the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Phil Schiller, who was on stage at the Apple event to present the new product, said that the 13-inch MacBook Pro is the most popular model in the Apple lineup. So adding a Retina display and a new design to the product is something that's going to be of interest to many, many users. Anyone who's weighing up a new laptop, the 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display play is quite a compelling offering. We've done a full review at techguide.com.au. Now, the device has done away with the optical drive. There's no more DVD slot there. And what that done, that has allowed for the designers to really slim down the model. It's only 1.9 centimeters thick. And apart from achieving this thinner look just by getting rid of the optical drive, what it's also done, it's gone for an all-flash architecture, which means there's no larger spinning hard drive. The only memory you're going to find on board is flash or SSD, solid-state drive memory, and that is 90% smaller than the normal hard drive, hence the ability for Apple to reduce the form factor even further. And it really is... It's 20% thinner than the MacBook Pro, the earlier version of the MacBook Pro, and half a kilo lighter. So you're kind of getting less computer, but also more computer in terms of more processor power. You're getting a much better screen. Of course, that gorgeous Retina display, and I use the 15-inch model. That's the device that I use as my everyday laptop. The 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display has actually got a resolution of 2560 by 1600, and that's actually twice the resolution of a full high definition television. It's got a combined pixel count of more than 4 million. That's a hell of a lot of pixels. So not only is this great, appealing for the type of users who really need to see their work in great detail, people like photographers, videographers, graphic designers, not only can they see their work in great detail, but the high speed dual core processors, the i5 Intel processors, really make getting through your work even faster. So uploading photos and video, high definition video, is quite fast through the dual. There's two Lightning ports and of course the onboard processor, two USB 3 ports and HDMI port, no optical drive, but there is an SD card slot as well. And we've given the MacBook Pro 13 inch with Retina 4.5 stars out of 5. Our only criticism, the product itself is excellent. Our only criticism is that the entry level, you're not going to get much change out of $2,000. It's $18.99, and that's with the base features like 8 gig of RAM. I think 8 gig of RAM is all you're going to get to on this, but that starts. Its starting memory is 128 gig. If you do want to bump that up, it's an extra $300, and then you're well over $2,000. So, look, it's a great computer. If you've got the money, it's well worth it. A little more expensive than your normal 13-inch MacBook Pro, but hey, you're getting a lot more product for your money as well, including that amazing Retina display. But if you want to read the full review, feel free to head over to techguide.com.au. Now, tablets are certainly a most popular product, and for people of all ages, how many times have you seen parents handing off an iPad or even a smartphone to their child to keep them occupied so they can enjoy themselves, get online, listen to music, view movies on the go? Well, rather than having to hand off an expensive iPad or expensive Android tablet, Oregon Scientific have actually come up with a good solution. They've created a tablet just for kids, and it's called the Meep. And Meep, as in the sound the Roadrunner makes, so Meep Meep, it is called the Meep. Designed for kids age 6 and above, it's got a 7-inch touchscreen display, a front camera, it's got built-in Wi-Fi, and it's also got some preloaded content. And being Android, of course, you can download various apps to the device. It's priced at $199, which is fairly reasonable. It comes in a sturdy design with enhanced rubber silicon around the edges, so that even in young hands, if they do happen to drop it, it's going to handle that wear and tear of those younger users. Now, it's running the Android 4.0 operating system, and so kids can get on there, surf the web, listen to music, watch their movies, even read ebooks, and also chat online with their friends. But one thing, an important feature for the Meep, especially if you're going to give this to a child, is the fact that there are parental controls on board. So you can access these controls from any computer or mobile device, and you can do things like checking out the games the kids have been playing, the websites that they've visited, and you can even look at their entire chat conversation so you know that they're not looking looking at inappropriate material or talking to people they shouldn't. And the good thing too about the Oregon Scientific Meep tablet is that it comes with several accessories as well. So things like a joystick, a steering wheel, a piano keyboard, a drum pad. Excellent additions to that device there. The Meep tablet, it's priced at $199 and it's available in November from Dick Smith Electronics, Meijer and Toys R Us. I've written a full report at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
The Tech Guide podcast is brought to you by the good people at Netgear. Now, do you want better Wi-Fi coverage around your home? And we've all experienced those annoying little Wi-Fi dead spots. And now these days with the number of mobile devices we've got, like tablets and smartphones connecting to a home network, it's essential you have a solid Wi-Fi connection. Now, Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and improve your online experience around the home. Universal compatibility means you can keep all your current wireless equipment, and it's a CD-less installation, so setup's really easy on mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming HD video content and maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to boost your Wi-Fi coverage and improve your online experience in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost my Wi-Fi. Now, we've all known Logitech to be a company that makes interesting computer accessories, and they've come up with a new device that's not quite a computer accessory, it's more a television accessory. Now, this product's called the TV Cam HD. And as its name suggests, it's a TV camera, a camera that sits on top of your television, connects to your TV using a HDMI connection, and with its built-in Wi-Fi connectivity or Ethernet connectivity, if you do happen to have a cable near your television, it allows you to make and receive Skype video calls on your television. So that full-screen experience in your lounge room, so rather than you having a hunch over the computer and in a little bit more of an uncomfortable position, you can now sit comfortably in the lounge room and access all your Skype contacts through the Logitech TV Cam HD and make and receive calls. So great way to catch up with family and friends. You can fit the whole family on the couch, let everyone catch up, and it, with being on the full screen on your main TV in your room, it gives you that big screen experience. It's like the person you're talking to is right there in the room with you. The Logitech TV Cam HD has got built-in microphones, so it's at enhanced, so it's got noise cancellation and echo reduction, and it's got a Carl Zeiss lens, so that it's a pretty precision device to give you decent video quality, so HD all the way. The Logitech TV Cam HD is available later this month. It's priced at $249.95, and there's a full report at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide now. A Tech Guide interview.
This week, the Tech Guide interview is an interesting chat with Sasha Pezik. Now, he's the co-founder of LiveScribe. This is the company behind the latest Sky Wi-Fi smart pen. Now, LiveScribe have produced a number of smart pens over the years, and I've been a big fan of this device. They started off with the Pulse, followed that up with the Echo, and the Sky is the very latest in the line. Now, what Sky adds to, what it brings to the table is the added Wi-Fi connectivity. So now, the notes that you take on this device can be pushed up into the cloud to Evernote and accessed on a number of devices. Now, let me explain what the smart pen can do. Now, the smart pen itself is slightly bigger than a regular pen. There's actually a camera built in above the nib, so inside the pen. It's also got a recorder, and what it does, it writes on special paper that's supplied by LiveScribe, and you can buy refills and other pads and notebooks from Officeworks and other stores. And when you write on this this paper, it actually records everything you're saying. So say you're taking the meetings of the minutes of a meeting or conducting an interview, you can write your notes and it records what it hears at the same time. So once you're done, those written notes then become an index to that audio. So you can tap on any part of those notes and you'll be taken instantly to that part of the audio. Now, a very handy feature, that's been the feature of all the smart pens from LiveScribe, but the Sky Wi-Fi pen, having Wi-Fi connectivity means that it can now push those pen casts, as they're called, so the writing and audio combined, up to the cloud. So you can access them up to the cloud on Evernote. So you can access them now on other devices. So your written notes can also be stored in the digital world and viewed on a number of other devices, as well as the attached audio. So and the fact that it's up on Evernote and even in your notebook, all your notes are searchable and easy to organize, and really, really great way for those who still like that tactile writing on paper, but it's actually got the digital component there as well. So you know that you're going to have a digital version of these notes as well as the associated audio that goes with it. But we went along to have a chat with Sasha Pezik, who came to Australia to launch the product, and here's what he had to say.
Well, Sasha, thanks for joining us. I've spoken a lot and written a lot about the smart pen. But tell us, what's new about the Sky Smart Pen?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. So the smart pens that we've had in the marketplace to date have been USB tethered to your Mac or PC. So it's your pen and your PC in a closed environment with LiveScribe proprietary software. So we asked ourselves, in this world now with tablets and cloud computing, how can we make our smart pens relevant to the customer that consumes content on screen-based devices? And how do we free them from our proprietary software? So with Sky, it's the same pen and paper experience. You write and record audio, and those two are linked together, so you can tap your handwritten notes as before. But the major difference now is all of that ink and audio gets seamlessly transferred to the cloud, to the LiveScribe cloud and Evernote cloud, where you can store your notes on Evernote, search your notes, organize your notes, and share your notes. And then automatically it's pulled down to any client device. Mm-hmm. So if I take notes on paper, it goes to the cloud and back down to my iPhone or my Android smartphone or my iPad, or I can access it through any major web browser.
Okay. And in this day of smartphones and tablets and all these devices, people still actually like to take notes, don't they? The people like the pen and paper experience, and with your new product, it takes that even a step even further. You have some information.
Yeah, we did a survey of 600 tablet owners that had no prior experience with a LiveScribe smart pen at all, and what they told us was the vast majority of them, 88%, highly value their notes and take a lot of notes. The majority of them take it on paper, but they also want to integrate it into their digital life. Mm-hmm. And that's the gap. That's the void that we're trying to fill. Mm-hmm. Is for these tablet owners, what do they want to do with their notes? They want to search, organize, store, share, all that stuff. But they want the notes to be put into their digital life on their tablets and their smartphones. And so we said to ourselves, well, how are they taking notes today? All kinds of ways, right? They can type on keyboards or they can write on glass. But those that actually write on glass have the least satisfied experience using a stylus.
Yep.
And those that write on glass had the highest response rate of, hey, I want to buy a Sky Wi-Fi smart pen from LiveScribe, because they want that seamless integrated experience. Mm-hmm. Write on paper, shows up on glass.
Yep. So that action of writing, as you said, with a stylus, people are inventing a product to write on glass with, but the Sky smart pen offers that experience, still writing on your notepaper,
right,
but it then creates a digital copy of that that you can access on any of your devices.
That's right, through the client Evernote app. You just launch Evernote, and there are your notes.
Yes. Okay. There was one interesting line that you mentioned, I think, in the advertisement that's coming out. It's not about taking notes. It's where your notes will take you.
That's exactly right.
I found that very interesting. So tell us, who's your typical user then? It's a no-brainer for a person like me. I'm a journalist. I already use the smart pen. So who's your typical customer? And if you can, maybe give us a couple of cases where this has been really well integrated into their life and their work schedule.
Absolutely. So 70% of our customers are mobile professionals, and about 20% are students, 10% are teachers. And on the students, it's mainly higher ed students. On that 70% of mobile professionals, it's anyone from doctors who are meeting with patients, attorneys that are, you know, in court or handling litigation, patent attorneys, for example, when they're getting invention disclosures from their clients, to salespeople that are out in the field and they're meeting with a customer, trying to get all the customer requirements down, but maintaining that personal eye contact and connection while they're talking, to any professional, basically, that takes notes.
And journalists.
And journalists.
What about lawyers? Lawyers would use them too.
Lawyers
they?
Love it. Yeah. They absolutely love it.
Of course. And now with Australians, we're pretty early adopters when it comes to technology. How are we as customers for LiveScribe? Are we up there?
Actually, yeah. Australia is one of our top three international markets outside the United States. So about a third of our sales are international. We first unveiled this to the press in Australia, as opposed to the rest of the world, because our prior products were so well received, and it's a great market for us, and so we're really backing it heavily.
Yeah, right. And in terms of this is a type of product that I think that once people get their hands on it and experience it, and I know I've shown mine to many people and thought, wow, that's pretty cool. In the retail space, are you going to have that kind of interaction, like videos playing? How are we going to get the message across to customers and show them the power of this thing?
It is a little bit of a seeing as believing product. So at retail, our anchor retail chain here is Officeworks. We will have POP video displays, point of purchase video displays, where you can actually see the product and understand the value proposition to the customer. Mm-hmm. Along with videos on LiveScribe.com's website that get into a little bit more detail about what the product can deliver.
Okay. You mentioned, too, that next you're going to release an SDK, a software development kit, so that developers can actually create apps that will work with the smart pen. Can you tell us a little bit about being able to create a direct link to products, to the devices thing, and apps that take advantage of that technology?
Yeah, absolutely. So another whole leg of this, which is as important as our cloud-connected strategy to Evernote, is your Wi-Fi smart pen will be able to directly pair with your tablet or smartphone. It's a point-to-point communication, not going through the cloud. So you can write on paper, and it'll automatically and instantly show up on your iPad. So, for example, I could have a document like a PowerPoint in soft copy on my iPad or a PDF, and I take notes on paper that are linked to the screen, the page on the screen that I'm viewing, and all of those are seamlessly connected. So now my digital soft copy have my notes that are associated with that page. Very powerful stuff.
Amazing. And we can expect to see these apps start to appear, early 2013?
Yeah, we're pre-releasing the SDK to developers on iOS this quarter, and 1.0 will be released in Q1 of next year, along with an Android SDK as well.
Okay. No worries. Well, it sounds very exciting. The product is out now, so we look forward to testing it out and writing about it here on TechGuide. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Stephen.
Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, our smartphones are a very popular subject for questions on the Tech Guide Help Desk, and this is no exception. And this is an interesting one where a reader has asked about using their phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Now, as we know, if we have 3G connectivity, and nowadays with products like the iPhone 5, the Samsung Galaxy S3 4G, having a 4G connectivity means a much faster connection if you happen to be in a good reception area. Now, if you do happen to have a wireless product, for example, maybe a Wi-Fi tablet or a laptop, you're able to utilize your smartphone's cellular connection, whether it's the 3G or 4G, and link that becomes your modem to link your laptop or tablet device to the internet. So what the reader's question they asked, whether using your iPhone or whatever, your other smartphones, affects the data that you use. Well, yes, it does. So any data that you access using your smartphone device as a hotspot will come out of your monthly data allowance. So don't think that this is just some kind of magical data reservoir that doesn't impact on your plan. Yes, it does. There's plenty of apps for you to check your data usage. And look, with so many plans now, there are some plans with up to 4 gig of data. What better way than for people to have, rather than having two data plans, for example, people buy iPads and other tablets with 4G or 3G SIM cards in them. What better way? And I know people for a fact people have rather than buying an iPad with the Wi-Fi plus 4G or 3G, they've decided to just go for the Wi-Fi version and use their smartphones as a Wi-Fi hotspot. So rather than having to spend the extra money to get the 4G connectivity and thereby having a separate 4G data plan, they're taking advantage of their own, their smartphones' 4G connectivity and using it as the hotspot and getting the Wi-Fi device onto the internet. So yeah, a great way to utilize that data usage on your smartphone by using it as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Well, that's our show for another week, believe it or not. You can read more about everything I spoke about this week at techguide.com.au, and we'd love to hear from you as well, and you can do that. You can get in touch by emailing us at info@techguide.com.au, and you can also submit your questions as well to the Tech Guide forum, and they could be read out right here on the show. Tech Guide was brought to you thanks to Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear for all your wireless needs. Thanks for listening. Looking forward to talking to you again next week.